Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. I'm John Martin.
And I'm Dean Reverman.
All right, Dean. I'm not big on physical shopping.
This is true. Yes. Well, it's the whole germ thing, and you just kind of like to be,
It's not just the germ.
It's not just the germ. You're right.
I feel like I've gotten this reputation for being
a
germaphobe.
Yes, you have. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Yes.
Slightly justified.
Your hermit nature?
That's really. I'm a misanthrope. I'm a hermit, and I just don't like to leave my house. That's what it really comes down to. And I also don't like germs.
There he is.
But storefronts, let's talk about it. When you're out shopping and there's a storefront, there's a lot of space a lot of times in storefronts.
There is.
Some have, big open windows, big empty spaces.
Yep.
Some of them utilize it. You might see some stuff displayed there. Yeah. You might see some old school signs hanging up, like cardboard signs.
Yeah, the old rickety things.
Or paper
that are,
taped up, telling you there's a sale that you can't see unless you're two feet away or something.
Yes.
Feels like a lot of wasted space potentially. That
a little
could
bit.
Be used
a little
there.
Bit. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So
why?
Well, because I think that means there's some opportunity.
Ooh, I like that. Yes.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus those displays. Like, if you are going to use, I worked in retail once upon a time.
Yes.
Those window displays, they can be time consuming if you want to really put something up there.
Oh, like physically? Yeah.
If
you got to go
physical
up. You got
items
put the film
in there.
Up.
You got to change it out. If you're going to put items in there, you might be swapping them out all the time. It's not too practical.
Not going to happen. Yeah.
Maybe you're not doing it on a timely manner. You're leaving a sign up
guaranteed.
That's about a sale that ended 3 days ago or something. I don't know. Anyway. So a lot of these retailers may not have the skill or interest to do this, or maybe they don't realize that there's something else they could be doing with that space. So there is opportunity here for VARs and for those retailers.
There you
go. We're talking about what we call pedo or pedo.
Yes.
I don't know who wants pick your word.
We'll ask the experts.
Yeah, pick your version of the acronym. Yes. We'll let them tell us. But I've taken to calling it pedo, but it stands for programmatic digital out of home advertising.
Yes.
It's a mouthful, so I can understand why we
need to. Yes, we need an acronym.
Acronymize it or something a little bit there.
That's right.
So we've got Joe Cunagonis with us today, along with Ben Simon. We've had Ben on the show before, our emerging technology expert. We're going to be talking all about programmatic advertising. We're going to explain what it means to our VARs, what it means in general. Like,
yes.
What is it?
What is it?
How does this work? Why are we doing this? What's the opportunity out there?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to explain the software side of it because we obviously specialize in the hardware. It's digital signage, screens. But what do you need to be doing on those screens to make this happen?
Yes.
We're going to talk about the recurring revenue aspect.
Hey, money.
Because that's the whole goal here
is
to make you guys, the VARs,
that's
money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And even better, or you can make your customers some extra money by doing this also. Yeah.
Get out of town.
Yeah, it's benefiting everybody all the way up and down.
I love it.
So, I like it.
Something unique.
All that plus our usual value to the VAR. What's Tech Connecting with us? It's time to plug in and get connected.
Welcome to the Tech Connect podcast. It's time to get connected.
All right, as I mentioned, we have two fantastic guests to talk to us about the world of pedo. And that's going to be part of my initial question here for you guys. It's not only to talk to a little bit about yourselves, but to tell me how you say the acronym and if it even honestly matters at this point. So I'm going to start quickly with Ben Simon because he is our Blue Star Emerging Technologies BDM. You might recall we had him on, I believe, last year talking about EV charging.
Yes, EV charging.
This is the other part of his world that I think he lives and breathes in on a regular basis. And again, it's all kind of related to some of the signage and opportunities around it. So Ben, welcome back to the show. Again, people might know you fairly well at this point, hopefully come across you a few times, and you're out there all the time at all the shows and everything we do anyway. But I want your opinion. How do you pronounce this acronym?
Well, John, I pronounce it pedo personally. That's just the easiest way to say it, but I've heard it called everything that you can possibly imagine, to include the ones that you had. Seems to be the big debate in the market on is what we're going to call this and how we're going to pronounce it. But yeah, like John said, I'm the business development management for emerging technologies here at Blue Star. Happy to be on the show again. It's always great to get out on a platform like this. And we're going to talk a little bit about programmatic advertising today. I'm excited.
And then our other guest, who is actually a specialist in this particular field that we're talking about today, Joe Cunagonis. He is the CEO for Smartify Media, who has become our partner in this particular initiative. We're excited to have him on board. Joe, welcome to the show. Glad to have you today. Tell us a little maybe about your background and the Smartify background and how this came to be. And then also, again, from your opinion, what's your pronunciation, or do you honestly even care?
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for having me this morning. Very excited to be here. Currently the CEO of Smartify Media. I've actually been in this industry 27 years. So I actually started when it was called OOH. There was no D and there was no P in front of it. So I call it as PDO, because before it used to be called Do Media, and now it's PDO. So it's been a wild ride. Being in this industry 27 years, I've seen the huge transition from traditional media all the way into the digital spectrum and now into programmatic digital, which is really exciting.
I think we have to go with Do, because well, I mean 27 years of experience. Ben, I love you, brother, but 27 years in the industry, you know, maybe I start calling it PDO.
And also someone who was there with the original version.
Yes.
That was Ooh, and then added on the Do, and now the PDO. So for the sake of continuity, I'm going to try to keep calling it PDO for the rest of this episode, at least. But again, call it whatever you want. We need to explain what this is, I think, because some folks may, you know, I know we've been talking a lot about it. It's been part of our kind of emerging technologies plan.
That's right.
Here at Blue Star the last couple of years.
Yep.
But maybe folks haven't really immersed themselves in it as much as they could have, and they're looking at this now. Or maybe this is your first time coming across this. You know, maybe we had that episode about search a few weeks back. Maybe this pops up on someone's search, looking into this. So they're like, all right, I'll see what these guys have to say about it. So let's start with the basics there. Let's talk about what PDO is from kind of a broad overview. Let's talk about what's happening in the retail market right now. I mentioned up front that use of space, you know, what those storefronts are doing and what's currently going on there. So let's talk about that. What's happening? What does the market look like? What's that space like? And where, you know, what's leading us to these opportunities we're talking about? Ben, I'll let you kick this off here.
Yeah. I mean, as John said earlier, you know, PDO stands for Programmatic Digital Out of Home. And it's a great solution that fits with a lot of our VARs out there because their customers need products like this. You know, the first sector that kind of comes to mind is retail stores. And what this is it's monetized and managed digital signage that creates revenue streams for both the VAR and the end user. And I don't know what could be better than that. You know, you buy a product and it makes you money. That's just a good deal. And what we're doing with our partners at Smartify is we're working with, you know, national retailer ad campaigns, and we're putting them in physical spaces around the DMA markets that we currently sell into.
Good stuff.
Very nice.
Joe, piggyback on that a little bit, because you mentioned you have this experience in the background in this from back in the days when it was just out of home advertising. So maybe explain that progression to us a little bit of where it came from to where we are now in this programmatic digital side of things too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, interestingly, out of home or outdoor advertising is the oldest medium in the history of the world. If you think about just signage in general outside your house, that's what outdoor advertising is. It's everything that when you leave your home, you're exposed to, whether that's stadium signage, airport signage, transit signage. And the great thing is that when you think about other mediums like online, mobile, social, print, broadcast, these are all things a consumer can control, right? They could shut them off. They can't control an outdoor display because the media owner controls that display. So that's a huge value, not only for the advertiser, but the ability to really target messaging down to the audience level. So, you know, when we talk about outdoor advertising, it, you know, in being in this industry for so long, outdoor advertising was the last medium to be truly affected by technology, right? Print was affected, broadcast was affected, radio was affected by technology. And what happened is the rise of digital mediums like online, mobile, and social really started pulling dollars away from those other mediums, not necessarily outdoor, because what's happened with outdoor is that as technology is now affecting the outdoor advertising industry, it's providing all of these very systematic and very tailored digital advertising networks in the out-of-home space that's going to be a huge benefit for multiple parties, whether that's the advertiser, the real estate owner, the retailer, and everybody involved in that ecosystem. Because what's happening now is that you could take a physical piece of property and use the attributes of that physical piece of property, just like an online mobile app, a social thread, or an online website. And those digital dollars are now starting to move in a big way over to digital out of home, which is benefiting everybody in that ecosystem. So I always say is that all physical real estate has inherent media value, and that inherent media value needs to be extracted through a platform like Smartify. And that's what we're doing.
when you look at some of the numbers, I'm going to, and well, let's dive into a couple things that both of them just touched on. Let's look at the market size. Global PDU market size in the U.S. is $645 million in 2021, projected to reach $467 million by 2027. Or I'm sorry, billion. That was a billion, not million, by 2027. So the compound, the CAGR right now in this marketplace is 39.12%. So a lot of growth. And I think to Joe's point, what you're seeing is the dollars that go into digital ad spend, right, Joe? They're starting to shift. There's, you know, you read articles, and we've talked about the cookie crumble online, meaning what does that mean? Well, you know, Google has changed their approach towards tracking end user, tracking what you do online. And so there's a shift in dollars in the ability for online, specifically, you know, through like Google's and things of that nature, to command so much of this digital, you know, economy. And some of those dollars are now shifting over to something like programmatic digital out of home. Right, Joe? That's the shift that we're seeing.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see. I mean, last quarter in Q4, two of our biggest advertisers were actually pure digital companies. One was TikTok and one was Facebook. And the reason why they were buying heavily on the Smartify platform is because it's that hard to reach audience that they can't get purely on digital. It's the out-of-home market. It's that market, is that individual having the intent to go to a physical storefront that they want to get in front of. You know, I always say that when you think about global ad spend, there's all these layers of global ad spend, but the pie really doesn't increase or decrease. It just maneuvers around to different mediums. So digital out-of-home, especially with the increase of programmatic activation, is starting to pull those dollars in a great way, and actually bringing new advertisers with them. Advertisers that have never advertised in traditional out-of-home before are now utilizing this because of the attributes of a transaction digitally in the out-of-home space is the same thing that they're seeing in transacting online, mobile, and social.
Let's put some stats around that, because I love the fact that Joe went into the audience here. Here are just some statistics, I believe, that come from Smartify. 2/3 of global audiences said that digital out-of-home ads encourage them to search for more information on the product. 88% of consumers like ads that are on out-of-home screens, right? So one half of global audiences who have seen digital out-of-home say they encourage them to purchase on the spot. And then finally, 58% are likely or very likely to believe the messages that they're seeing on digital at home. So this all has a commentary around, you know, maybe 15 years ago, you know, digital out of home had no place, or it was rocky. But now, because of our society and being very screen oriented, you know, the audience is accepting of this medium as being a legitimate way of consuming information, to Joe's point, right at the point of sale, which this is what excites me about the medium, is that now you're getting, you know, what the online world can provide to advertisers is immediate feedback on, you know, clicks and attribution around the advertisement. But now the world of programmatic or digital out of home is getting so sophisticated, we can start lumping on some of that ROI as well, right? Joe or Ben, can you comment on that a little bit about how sophisticated these networks are getting, that you really truly can get ROI and demonstrable ROI off of it, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the interesting thing here is that retail media, and Smartify is really two networks in one. We're a retail media network and also a pure programmatic digital out-of-home network. But retail media as a word wasn't even a thing 5 years ago. Nobody knew what retail media was. But one of the biggest and most exciting things that are happening in this space is that technology is moving so quickly, and it's being fueled by location-based data analytics that enables us to target the right audience with the right message at the right time. Now, digital out of home does that really well, but there's a bigger pot out there, and that is digital engagement. And what digital engagement is the ability to not only disseminate content to a relative audience, but have that audience be able to engage that content at the point of sale that you can eventually track a transaction. So it's all about that engagement that will lead to a transaction. And that is the full funnel of exactly what retail media will be in the future.
There's the foundation right there and kind of the why around it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. And you know, I feel like we've talked about this before too. Like we're a very screen oriented culture at this point. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's what we're used to in society. We all stare at our screens every day, you know, at home, at work, on the go. And you know, those stats you cited earlier, which, by the way, you can find all this stuff on our PDU website. I'll drop the link in the show notes, pdu.bluestaring.com. We've got some of these great stats there. We've got like a map that shows, you know, some of the regions where this is up and coming, and also a way that you can reach out to us too. But those stats you mentioned all kind of just further illustrate this point of this idea that we are used to screens. We're used to trusting what we see on screens. Mm-hmm. We're used to paying attention to those mm-hmm. screens, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I go back to what I mentioned earlier, the idea of the storefront. Mm-hmm. And if you're walking past, you know, let's say you're out at like kind of a shopping plaza, these nice outdoor shopping plazas you can find where, you know, there's, you know, outward facing shops that you can walk through and, you know, in kind of a nice area. And they've all got this window space. And again, if it was the old school, like just some random displays and stuff, maybe yep. something might catch your attention if it yep. was something you were interested in.
Right.
Maybe a sign might catch your attention for a moment. Mm-hmm. I promise you, digital signs are catching people's attention.
Oh, yeah. The medium itself is more impactful.
Yeah.
Studies have shown that.
When yes. that's out of the corner of your eye, no that doubt. Is more likely to make you stop, take a moment, look over there, see something. And that's where there's an opportunity for these advertisers that want you to see their stuff. And it's not necessarily just about the story. I know we'll talk more about that in a moment, too. That it can be any kind of advertising that you're trying to hook people into. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I think from that perspective, that's where these stats really belie, again, the culture that we live in, the expectation that screens are something that's part of our life and they do draw our eye and draw our attention. So why don't we take advantage of this and figure out how we can make some money off of this
right.
yeah. for our VARs and then for those retailers as well. So let's kind of pivot into that. Let's talk about what's actually happening on these screens. We know we're putting them up in these spaces. We get why they're there. We understand where the opportunity is. And and again, as I mentioned earlier, we know the hardware side of it obviously is a digital sign of some sort, mm-hmm. you know. And,
yeah.
and Blue Star is more than happy to hook you up with all the folks that can
that's right.
that can get you that signage. Mm-hmm. But this particular thing we're talking about is only as good as what's actually going to be displayed on those signs in those storefronts as well. So, Joe, give us the lowdown of that. Explain a little more about what Smartify is doing. How do you show retailers what they're going to get out of PDU and these deployments? What's actually going to happen when one of these goes put up and you guys come in and help deliver a solution on that?
Yeah, so basically Smartify connects physical real estate to digital media through display hardware and platform software. So when you think about the right hardware and the right software merging together, in essence, digital signage is really tough. And I know that probably a lot of ours think that, you know, how do I make money? Because I might have only 5 stores, or I might only have, you know, a couple of contacts with a couple of stores in this one market. It's actually the sum of all of those endpoints coming together as one platform is really the ultimate value of the network, because that enables one sign in one market to generate consistent revenue because it's part of a bigger platform. So when we talk about monetization, and keep in mind, this could be any type of form factor. The great thing, and Ben could kind of back me up on this, on the EV charging side, is that when we look at physical real estate, it could be a digital storefront window. It could be an outdoor kiosk in a common space area in a mall. It could be an EV charging station with a display at a point of entry where, you know, you're about to go into a shopping center. All of those pieces of hardware come together in a uniformed sense under the Smartify umbrella and enables us to add multiple ad channels into that. So every time we onboard a display, it's hooked into the same array of ad channels, programmatic channels, direct channels, hyperlocal channels. And our job is to extract and bring in as much paid revenue to that display as possible for the benefit of the real estate owners, the retailers, the VARs, and everybody else involved.
Yeah, and these are beautiful, beautiful displays. You know, I've seen a lot of them in the market from other companies that don't really look polished, let's say. And, you know, whether it's in a window or on a stand or in a kiosk or even attached to the EV chargers we talked about last time I was on the show, it just looks wonderful. And it's a great compliment aesthetically to any business that wants to do this.
So the network is there, right? I guess, guys, that's what you're talking about. Part of the genius here is the platform, right? And the ability to do that. Talk a little bit about, you know, some of the drivers around that, in the sense that you can tap into large advertising dollars, advertising campaigns, but there's also the ability for hyperlocal all the way down to the store, right, Joe? I mean, maybe talk a little bit about that, about how this, because I think this is so unique about this solution, where digital signage really had issues in the past. These platforms, that the Smartify platform and things of that nature, really answered this question. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it starts at the hardware. I mean, the hardware that we're deploying, like Ben said, has to be top of the line. It has to be fully integrated into a network operations center that gives our team 24/7 monitoring capability and remote access capability so that we can manage that signage. That's number one. Number two is that when we onboard the hardware, it's automatically integrated into Smartify's software network operations center, where we also have full access into the software. Now, that software, that unit, is hooked into an array of channels, programmatic, direct, and local. And the way that we approach this is that it's a digital media experience. It's not just paid ads. It's not just on-premise content. We run this like a broadcast studio, where we want to make sure that we're allocating different messages at different times based on the relevancy of the location. So for example, we just deployed with Loop EV charging stations with display at Rouse Markets. It's right in front. People go in, they plug in. It's the last thing they see before walking into a store to make a decision about purchasing. So this is where the relevancy comes in, because Procter & Gamble is one of our advertisers. Procter & Gamble has a huge amount of products sold at Rouse Markets. So they have now a captive audience to say, before you go make a purchase decision, you're seeing an ad that we want you to see. And that's a paid media ad. So the benefit for the retailer is that it's going to help them drive transactions, but also they're partaking in some of the ad budgets that Procter & Gamble is initiating within that environment. On the other side, it's not just all paid media. So we're adding relevant content to the audience. So that specific location, whether it's sports scores or weather or other relevant information, and we allocate a percentage of the display for on-premise marketing. So now Rouse could actually do advertisements on sales that they're doing, any message points about the store. So it becomes more of a media experience platform instead of just a pure ad platform.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I believe you have the functionality where even the locality can, for lack of a better word, approve messaging that is seen on their screen. Meaning, if there was a competitor, is that right, Joe? I don't want to say
Yeah, and that's a key factor, is that, you know, it's every display, even though it's part of an aggregated network, every display is unique. They all have different attributes. Our platform enables us to restrict not only a specific advertiser, but we could restrict the entire vertical. So there's no competitive copy, because obviously we want to enable and amplify the messages from our retail partners, not to, be a competitive source.
Absolutely. And so when I think about it, and, you know, if I was a reseller right now that had no idea about this industry, maybe, you know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to have to learn a whole new industry. Well, number one, no, you don't.
No.
Because we've got the partners in Smartify. But number two, learning this language, I don't think is very difficult. And Joe, if you wouldn't mind just spending just a minute or two on what I think are just, you really need to know like three things about advertising. And I'm going to oversimplify this, but cost per thousand, impressions, and occupancy. Joe, do you mind just, you know, telling us about those three things? Because I don't want to oversimplify it, but if you are a reseller and you are knowledgeable about these three concepts within the advertising world, it's not that you need to be a professor on it.
Right.
You just need to understand some of the drivers behind why Procter & Gamble is very interested in putting their advertisements up on these. So Joe, CPM, impressions, and occupancy. Can you do that in a minute? No, go ahead.
maybe a little more than a minute, but but first off, I want just so there's a base of reference here. So if you think about like a website, right? A website, it could be a sneaker website, and the traffic going to that website is obviously there to buy sneakers. That website can be aggregated into Google's main ad server, and then Google can monetize the traffic of that website. Now, we're not doing that, you know, anything that's much different than that, because what we're doing is we're taking a piece of real estate and the customers of having intent to that real estate, whether it's going to a grocery store, obviously they're there for a purpose. And then we're identifying the traffic of that physical storefront. So when we talk about impressions, an impression is a person. It just could be multiple people, meaning that I'm going into the store, I'm one impression. I'm coming out of the store, I'm one impression. If I stand around for 5 minutes, now I'm multiple impressions because I'm being targeted with multiple message points. So that's how an impression is defined. Now, one of the values that we bring to the table is that when we onboard a location, we actually bring in a third-party auditor to audit the impressions. And what that auditor does is says, listen, this is how many impressions every 15-second delivered ad can produce. So the aggregate or the accumulation of those impressions over time, reaching 1,000 impressions served, enables us to then get payment from the advertiser. So for example, if Starbucks came in and they said, I want to target X amount of impressions, say 100,000 impressions, we can easily deliver that and we could throttle those impressions, whether it's a day or a month for the advertiser. But every time it hits 1,000 delivered, we get payment from the advertiser. And that payment then is dispersed also to our partners within the program.
And we'll get into that. And then the occupancy is just the availability. Think of it as inventory, which rings a bell with a lot of our resellers. You know, they understand what inventory is. Hey, Ben, one thing I wanted to talk about here a little bit is location matters, right? Because I know you've been in the throngs of this for a long time. You've been interacting with our resellers. I actually got a couple questions for you, but location matters, right? Like where these screens are placed because of what Joe just teed up in the sense that, you know, it's impression based and things of that nature. Location matters. And we've got some expertise around trying to figure out what the right location is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it was a journey when we were learning that ourselves, because we'd find locations that we thought would be fantastic because it's high traffic, high volume. But what you really learn in this process and you understand is what matters the most is where advertisers want to put their dollars. What are the markets that they want to advertise to? And so a lot of times we look at the DMA map when we're targeting different areas with resellers to go after opportunities. And, you know, it really works in the top 50 DMAs, and where we're seeing like the best ROI on these products is in the top 20. And it's been phenomenal when you're looking at it from that approach.
So there may not be opportunities in whatever, Paducah, Kentucky. I'll pick on Paducah because as a DMA, it's not very big. And so, you know, it's not there yet.
Right.
You know, the advertising
We have a solution for that.
Go ahead, Joe.
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to add to this because this is a really important part, is that when you look at the entire U.S. population in the map, is that there is value for advertisers in every single zip code of the country. Now, that doesn't mean that national ads are going to go down and populate that locations of zip codes in certain areas, but local will. So that's why we have a systematic approach where our top markets are primarily programmatic activated markets, but we had built a platform called Smartify Go, which is a hyper-local ad platform to target some of the smaller markets to drive hyper-local from the ground up. And that's a way for some of our partners that are not in top markets to still benefit from the advertising dollars that are flowing into those markets.
I love it. That was a great answer.
Paducah says, take that, Dean.
I love we that answer. Too. Okay, let me reframe location matters.
Right.
You can't have one of these mounted to the back of a wall where nobody's seeing it. Well, we all concede that point.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, depends on what's in the back of that store.
That's awesome. That's awesome. No, hyperlocal is it. I mean, he just hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's what I mean, where these systems are getting so sophisticated now that there is opportunity and just about anywhere, right?
And I'll give you an example. And this is part of the Technic podcast drinking game, as John mentions, being at his local mall from time to time.
That's right.
So I don't go to the mall to shop. I go there to walk sometimes because I'm just that old these days. Mm-hmm. But they have set up a lot of these digital signs, the kiosks, you know, these kind of kiosk signs around the place that are very much doing exactly this, where there is some kind of retail media network type stuff clearly going on. That's like some, you know, looping, you know, little things of like, hey, here's some neat little cooking ideas. Here's fun, funny little videos. Here's a cat video kind of stuff interspersed with quick little ads for things. And some of them are going to be our ads for some of the stores that are actually there.
Yep.
Some of them are more national brand ads. So there's clearly a lot of this stuff going on. But man, I'll tell you, it draws my attention. Every time I'm out there walking, I always pay attention to what's on these. I always see what's going on with them. Mm-hmm. For a mall that at this point doesn't have the kind of traffic that it used to in its heyday, I'm amazed they're doing this. And yet there must be some value to that. I think that's kind of what Joe's indicating.
It's exactly right.
There's every now and then I'll see some very hyper local ads, you know, stuff like, you know, hey, you know, check out what's going on at the Florence Yalls, you know, our local,
which is a local baseball team,
you know, kind of thing, like something hyper specific that you wouldn't put up anywhere outside of that mall. No other mall in this whole tri-state would that probably matter outside of this particular
more than
mall
right there.
City. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff I think that can be very beneficial. And again, it goes back to that idea of, you know, it draws people in, it gets their attention. Going back to what you said at the beginning of the show about, you know, the cookie crumble and how on the internet, you know, the aggregation of media and of advertising, getting people's attention, hyper-targeting based on who you are and what's pulled out of your profile every time you logged in, it's getting harder and harder and harder to do because there's all these security measures that are going up. There's all these privacy laws that are being implemented.
Yep.
There's all these situations that are occurring that are making it harder and harder to understand who someone is when they're going to a website, when they're logging on, when they're in social media, and being able to target them specifically at this point. So this is kind of taking that, all right, well, maybe we can't get them on their home devices anymore, the ones they're walking around in their pockets with, but when they're out somewhere, we do know where they are at that point.
That's right.
We know what they're potentially into, what this area is like. We know what, you know, that the shopper profile of this particular region is like, and we can hyper-target there. And guess what? It's not quite as annoying or obnoxious to us as consumers either.
Because, you mean like a pop-up ad?
Exactly. Like a pop-up ad or like ads that are slowing down my favorite site you know, something obnoxious that I got to scroll past in order to see what I want to see.
Yes.
That stuff gets annoying.
Yeah, there you go.
A digital sign that's just out in a storefront or in a kiosk or somewhere where I'm just out and about, that's not as obnoxious. I mean, unless we put them on wheels and start making them drive in front of people or
something. Well, that's only in Vegas. they're rolling around.
I'll say if I'm walking through the mall and this thing like runs right out in front of me and I'm bumping into it, I might get annoyed with that. But otherwise, it just being there is not really going to
piss me off. Yeah.
So let's wrap up this part of the conversation then with Joe. You already touched on this, the idea of the revenue side of this.
Ah, making money.
That's always the big question. It's like the bars that are listening right now are probably thinking like, all right, but what do I get out of this? And I think we're going to, you know, elaborate on that also, though. But there's an element of what the retailers or the space, the venue, whatever it is that wants to, you know, that is putting up these displays, what they're going to get out of it. So let's talk about that. How does PDU generate this ongoing revenue for both the retailers and the VARs, whichever one he wants to kick this one off, have at?
Yeah, I can start. So, you know, as discussed previously, our goal is to drive as much revenue from different channels. And we're adding more and more channels literally every month, which is good because we're aggregating more demand. And this is advertising demand coming in. The benefit for the VAR and the retailer is that, you know, we manage this. I always say we do the three M's. We manage, we monetize, and we monitor, which is a huge cost savings to anybody wanting to get in the digital signage space. Our main goal is to drive revenue and then give a percentage of that revenue back to the VARs and the retailers. That's kind of value number one. But the secondary value is also we're providing what we define as advertising credits on Smartify Go to actually help the retailers advertise their business beyond their storefront. So, you know, it's not just the revenue stream, which is a huge part of it, but it's also beginning to be multi-beneficial for both the retailer and the VAR to actually extend the message outward and start to cross promote marketing.
Yeah, like it. Very nice.
Ben, elaborate on the VAR connection here, because I'm sure you've had a lot of these conversations with VARs and potentially with their end users. I can't think this can't be that hard of a sell to explain to somebody like, hey, we're going to do this work, we're going to install these, and here's some revenue you're going to get out of it, especially when you can point to our partner in Smartify and say, these guys know what they're doing. They've put it all together. They're going to get this up and running for you, and you just got to sit back and cash in. What are those conversations like? Is it pretty easy to explain this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we put this program together, I traveled to Chicago with one of our resellers that was an early adopter of selling this technology, and we were able to get 12 screens signed up and in the ground that day. And, you know, what we really discovered is that, one, people like digital signage, and end user customers love reoccurring revenue. And what really motivates the VARs to be a part of this program is it's not strictly just a margin sale. You're not just selling a display and making your points on it. There's a reoccurring revenue stream for you to help incentivize you to sell this product to your customers.
Absolutely. Let's hover a little bit more on that, since you've had so much interface, Ben, with the resellers. You know, what are some of the challenges coming from their side, number one? And number two, who within these resellers that have been successful, like, what are their jobs? Is it business development that, you know, on the resellers that are getting interested? Do you find technical people, you know, trying to get involved? So of those that are succeeding, why are they succeeding in this space? What have they done differently, and who's involved?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the VARs that are out there selling this and they're doing the most volume, they're the ones that are engaging directly with their sales team to push this into the market. They're having conversations with their customers about signage. And, you know, and some of them have even gone as far as taking to the streets and going door to door, targeting specific types of businesses, you know, whether it be a laundromat or a corner store, convenience store, and pushing it into the market that way. And it's surprisingly very, very successful, because the customer is getting the benefit of having digital signage with the ability to promote themselves and their product, as well as create that revenue stream. So it's, you know, at Blue Star, we like to say it's a win-win-win. And this truly is a product that is a win-win-win.
Have we had to develop, or are you involved? I know you are. So, you know, in what I would call the enabling of the sales team of the reseller, right? Are there resources, or Joe, maybe you can answer this, like, you know, some basic education that we provide so that they can hit the streets, you know, with some information and some knowledge around this?
Yeah, when you come into this program at Blue Star, you're going to talk to myself and to John Warner, who is our resident expert on all things Smartify. And we have a very comprehensive training program to make sure that when you're going out to your customers and you're going out into the market, you know what to say, you know what to talk about the stats. And, you know, we even help them determine the value with Smartify of what a screen could produce in that region, so that they already know these numbers of what they're talking about before they show up and try to conduct a sale.
Brilliant. Yeah. Let's hover on. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because, you know, what we're trying to perfect on our side is what we define as the media value score. And just like I said, is all physical real estate has inherent media value. And we're trying to assess that media value score that will give a potential high-low revenue estimate for that location. And we're constantly trying to add more and more data. We have access to a huge amount of data. We're trying to ingest a lot of that data into this MBS score to make it more and more perfect. But it's kind of like Zillow for real estate, for signage.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
That's a nice analogy.
Just visualize it immediately. Yeah. Here's the value of that location. But there's been some trial and tribulation, right, Ben, of getting down here. But through that trial and tribulation, we've got the resources, it sounds like. We even have some of those tool sets, as you mentioned, where we can, you know, zoom into an area and effectively garner, you know, what the value is around this place. Yeah, it's good stuff. Anything else that the resellers should consider? Are some challenges that you've seen that are unique?
Well, I mean, not so much a challenge, but something that I really, really like about pretty much everything we do in emerging tech at Blue Star that definitely applies to this program is it's not so much a transactional sale between Blue Star and the VAR. It's very much a partnership where we're an extension of your team, and we want to help you sell this product. We want to help you market this product and give you all of the tools, down to the point where we're even willing to conduct meetings with your end user customers while you're learning the process to make sure that everything runs as smoothly as possible.
Gold.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to wrap up here in a moment, talking a little bit more about what VARs can do next, how we're going to help them out. I think we've touched on some of that already.
Yes.
Before we do that, though, as always, a big thank you to all of our sponsors here on the Tech Connect podcast, our Tech Connect program. We appreciate all the fine folks that support our show.
Absolutely.
And continue to do so on a regular
basis.
Keeps
this wheel going. That's
exactly.
Right. Yep.
As always, if you like what you're hearing here, you want to hear more about any of our particular topics, you need to let us know. Mm-hmm. So a couple things you can do. One, if you're watching the YouTube version right now, hit the like button.
Yep.
That's as simple as it
gets. Right.
You grab your mouse and you click something. I'm hoping that's not hard for most people to do. Even better, leave us a comment. Seriously, yes. I'd love to see some comments about what you thought about this conversation.
Yep.
If you have any questions.
Join the convo.
If you have,
absolutely.
If you've been out there with Ben and Joe and you know, gone after some of these opportunities and have some experience in this, give us your thoughts and feedback on that. We'd absolutely. Love to hear that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Of course, if you're listening on any kind of audio podcast aggregator, leave us a rating and review there if you can. And more importantly, reach out to us. Tell us what you want to hear about on the show. Do you want us to dig a little bit deeper into some of these topics?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've mentioned retail media networks a lot, but we really need yes. to have an actual episode about retail media networks at some point.
We just touched on a very important component of it right here.
Exactly.
But yes, there's
so,
other things.
You know, if that's the kind of thing you want to hear more about, if there's some part of this conversation or just some topic we haven't gotten to yet, and you're like, man, I really would like it if you guys would talk about X.
Yep.
Great. Come and tell us. If you know someone we should be talking to about X, even better.
Yep.
Give us that info too.
Yep.
So there's always a link in our show notes where you can drop us a note about a topic you'd like to hear about on the show. If you do that, we'll send you a Tech Connect podcast t-shirt.
Boom.
I just was talking to Marco the other day.
Oh.
He's working on the new t-shirt designs. Ooh. He's got some neat logo ideas. They look fantastic.
Nice.
So hopefully we've got the new shirts available soon.
I like it.
And I'm eager to start sending those out to some folks. And as always, if you want to connect with us directly, you can always find us Blue Star on Facebook, LinkedIn, or you can email us here at the podcast directly, techconnect@bluestarinc.com. All right, let's wrap things up as always first with value to the VAR.
Yes.
That was value
to the VAR, yes.
That word's hard. so, you know, I feel like we've touched on a lot of this throughout this conversation, but let's distill it down here. Mm-mm. And Ben, I'll let you kick this one off. How, you know, what should VARs that are interested in these solutions do next? What do you think is the next step if someone's listening and saying, I want in on this?
Mm-hmm.
What's that next step? And maybe also tied to that, how do they identify what customers they think are going to do are going to be a good target for this? How are we going to help them out? I think we kind of got into that a little bit, but let's explain a little bit more of what they do next, how we're going to help them out, and how we're going to help them identify the customers that are the right fit for this.
Absolutely. You know, the next step, if you want to get involved, is to reach out to myself or John Warner. I'm sure John can throw our emails up on the screen for you. And we can really kind of run through the program with you, talk to you about what kind of customers you have, what verticals they're working in, and see what would be the best fit, you know? And I think that that's an important part of the process because everybody has the potential to be a customer for this. If you have physical space in the real world that's in a good location and you have windows or a place to put this solution, you're a potential customer that could definitely benefit from this solution.
Joe, what about on your side? What are you doing to help out? Where do you think there's, you know, what should the VARs be doing next? And how do they identify their customers?
Yeah, I think the first step for them is to really assess their customer base and the types of verticals in the retail sector that they have. They know best their customers and they know best the customers on their real estate side. So if you go into any small town, you're going to know primarily what are the 5 to 10 best locations to be in that town. That's where we want to be. And I think on the inverse is that Smartify can also help with those detailed conversations about where does media come from, what those expectations are, and really coming up with more of a digital signage footprint to help them build out and maximize their revenue.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a reseller, you have, as these gentlemen just said, you have to unlock the potential of the relationships that you have with your existing customer base, right? And open them up to areas such as this. PDU is an area when appropriately, you know, applied, is a winner, and it can make you money, recurring revenue money. So.
Yeah.
These are things that it's just, you got the relationships. That is your gold, as we talk about. Now unlock a little bit of it.
I feel like also this is something that's tailor-made for the SMB VAR market,
oh,
too.
Oh, for sure.
Because, again, we're talking about going out locally.
Yeah.
Finding the spaces that are local where there's opportunities for this, where there's a lot of high traffic. And it doesn't have to be like a sports stadium or like, you know, the biggest, hottest venue. It could be just a place where a lot of people go on a regular basis that, again, has these opportunities, like some mom and pop stores in some kind of shopping district or something, you know, again, like a local mall, you know, I know there's always a joke of like the malls are kind of dying, but there's still opportunities there.
Of course.
And there's still revenue to be made in that, in those kind of spaces.
Yeah.
If you're the one getting in there and doing that, I think this can be a perfect opportunity for a small VAR that isn't necessarily ready to go out and try to win giant business, you know, against some big competitors.
There's so much opportunity here. Yeah.
As you mentioned earlier, you threw out the Paducah example and Joe was very quick to correct
absolutely.
You. Like, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
There's just as much potential opportunity there. It's just figuring out what it is. So
there it is.
I think, you know, there's a lot to play there and we're happy to help you out. So as Ben mentioned, don't hesitate to reach out to us.
He's a busy guy, but
if you haven't kept track of all the stuff to do or who to contact, techconnect@bluestarinc.com. Just send us an email. I won't respond because I have no idea how to help you, but I'll send it over to Ben and he'll take care of you and help you out and get you to the right
good
people.
Stuff.
So, all right. As always, let's wrap up the show with what's tech connecting with you? Our favorite segment, we get to talk about something in the world of tech. Innovation, science, business, discovery, just something we feel like chatting about, something that's got our attention right
now. All right.
Ben, you've been on the show before. You know how to do this. Let's kick off with you. What's tech connecting with you right now?
Absolutely. I've got the perfect product for you guys this week, and it is the Dyson Zone Air Purifying Headphones. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but you need to Google Dyson Zone Air Purifying Headphones. It looks like something out of Star Wars or Star Trek. This is going to allow you, this product's fantastic. You can walk down the most smoggiest streets in Chicago, bump into your music, and you're still breathing clean air.
These are the ones that have like the mask. It's got the headphones and also a little bit of the mask or breathing. I think I saw something like this come out of CES or something a couple years ago.
They even come in rose gold plated.
Oh, nice.
What's the price point, brother? What is this going to set?
I actually don't know what the price point is.
It looks like it's going to be around $500. $500, just generally.
Well, I mean, some AirPods Max, whatever they cost about that, if not more, don't they?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
What a good pair of Beats, you know?
God, I love this one. Everybody needs clean air.
And you get the facial protection, yeah.
So is there like a, it is going to be Star Wars. I'm glad he brought that up because, you know, during the pandemic, it's like, I wanted my Kylo Ren, you know, kind of mask. And
okay.
I mean, okay.
All right, I've got it.
Uh-oh.
So you get these.
Yes.
With an AirPods Pro.
Yes.
Not the AirPods, the Vision Pro.
Vision Pro.
The Apple Vision Pro. So you've got everything you're right. You're just one step away from just having some kind of a helmet you're putting over your head and turn yourself into a Mandalorian or a stormtrooper or something, you know. So
good stuff.
All right. I'm gonna check that out. Maybe we can find a way to finance that here on the podcast.
Yeah. We need a version.
We'll ask one of our sponsors, hey, can you guys step up your contributions a little bit and so we can get some wacky new Dyson air purifying headphones?
Brilliant, Ben. Brilliant.
Awesome. Good stuff. All right, Joe, what's tech connecting with you?
Yeah, so this is actually not out yet, but it's extremely relevant to our discussion. So it's mobile to screen sync. And what that means is that as an individual walks within proximity of any digital signage, your mobile device will automatically sync and provide you with benefits. So imagine walking into a grocery store and having automatically all the digital coupons drop into your Apple wallet, and then you go at the point of sale and redeem them. Without you actually doing anything.
I like that. I had not heard about this. So is this coming through an application, Joe, or how's that going to be delivered?
Yeah, it's being driven by AI technology and aggregation of a huge amount of data sets. But we're actually in the process of working on this.
Oh, you guys are working on it. Even better.
Nice.
I love it.
That's
cool.
I love this. I've talked about being a Kroger shopper in the past. Mm-hmm. Another, take a shot for me saying something about that. But one of the most obnoxious parts about, doing your digital coupons is that you've got to go in the app and you've got to clip
them. Yes.
Visually clip.
Yes.
Sort through the coupons.
How old school. Yes.
Click the ones you want. You know, if you're going to buy something from that coupon, make sure you've got the right stuff in your cart.
Mm-hmm.
I would love something that just kind of easily does that for me. They're getting a little better about it. Where like when you go to your cart, it'll tell you like, hey, here's a coupon for this item that you haven't added yet.
Mm-hmm.
But man, how nice would it be? And again, on that physical side of things too, to be able to walk in and just immediately have the latest and greatest coupons just get loaded up into my app, loaded in my card, and then when I'm buying something, it automatically starts taking it off.
Absolutely. Joe, was there a component that it's proximity to a screen or just proximity to a store?
Proximity to a screen.
To a screen.
We could do both. We could do proximity to a screen if it's in the public space or proximity to the store itself.
Oh, I see. So you're leveraging the technology in place, if it's a screen in a public area, as being the delivery mechanism with the proximity. Got it. Right? Using the technology on it.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Good stuff. Yeah.
I like that.
Looking forward to that. Let us know when that's ready to roll out. We'll Maybe we'll come back on and talk about that too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Get a reseller selling that stuff too. No all doubt right, about Dean, it.
What's second egg with you,
hey,
bud?
Do you have $20 million to burn?
I don't.
Ben, you got $20 million. Joe, $20 million yeah. to burn?
See, Joe might come the closest of any of us, but somehow I doubt he's ready to burn it, though, even if he did.
Well, if you did, you could buy a baby Tyrannosaurus with that. Not a real one, but a skeleton.
Have we gone Jurassic Park already?
We've gone Jurassic Park. $20 million is what will do it. I stumbled across this, and it's one of those things where, you know, the commentary is, well, it's a fascinating world where people have too much money. And then then you can dive into the economics of art and artifacts. But apparently, if you have $20 million, there is a baby Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton up for sale. It's called Chomper, by the way, if you were looking for the name of it.
Makes sense.
On this website, I we'll have it in the link. I forget the aggregator, I guess, that does this kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you can buy a T-Rex skeleton, which would be fascinating. What would you do with that? I guess you'd need a house big enough that you could put this thing.
What
it's
can
a baby.
You do with
it's a baby T-Rex.
Put it
so
on
not
display.
A big one. Yeah, put it
yeah,
on
but
display.
Even a baby T-Rex, I'm sure, is still, pretty huge.
Ben, you're building a house, or do we have a big enough place to even put this baby T-Rex in your family room?
I think it would look fantastic in the Tech Connect podcast studio.
Oh, there you go.
We get the T-Rex.
Man, between that and the headphones, we're going to have to ask for a lot more sponsor money next round here.
Anyway,
that's just one of those, seriously, what else could you have done with that?
Exactly. Now, if you do have that kind of money, this particular skeleton is 55% complete, and the skull is 90% complete, which means something, I guess, in these worlds of artifacts.
That's a pretty substantial amount for a dinosaur.
It would be
kind
of cool, though. I mean, what kind of a flex would that
be?
That
cool.
You want to come over and see my Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton? I don't know. not many people can say that, I guess.
No, and very few probably should be able to say that either.
There you go. Oh, I see. Yes, you're getting into the ethics of having it around.
To be fair,
we don't talk about ethics on the Tech Connect when we're tech connecting with us.
All right.
What's tech connecting with you, man?
So, we've been talking about, and you've had this as tech connecting yourself. Both of us have plant grown, beef and meats.
Yes.
The 3D printed foods.
Yes.
Lab grown meat. At this point, all this stuff. Well, what about beef infused rice?
Wait. Beef infused rice.
Yes.
So I have rice and I've infused it with some type of beef.
Exactly.
Okay.
So these are some South Korean researchers that are working on a type of rice that has been infused with beef. Now, what this actually means, here's how they do it. They first coat the rice in fish gelatin to keep the meat meat cells latch on better. Then they insert cow muscle and fat stem cells into the rice grains.
What?
Which are left to culture in a petri dish.
What?
And basically it produces this rice that's right now the early versions is pink in color. That's because of the culture they have to grow it in.
Yeah.
They said they could do it in other colors or make it traditional white if you really wanted it to. But essentially it is high protein, high fat, and is a more nutrient-packed dish than just even your standard rice, which is already a fairly nutrient-packed
Do we need this? Is this a technology we need?
Basically, their reasoning behind it is it could help in places like with famine issues.
Oh,
I see.
It
could be used maybe for military rations, emergency situations.
Hey, Ben, you were in the military. Would you eat a ration that's a beef-infused rice?
I would prefer not to.
Now, the one thing there's talk in this article, and as always, we always put all these links in our show notes. There's talk in the article about the texture being a little bit stiffer than your standard rice, not quite as mushy potentially.
Yes, okay.
So, the texture sounded a little bit potentially off-putting. The one thing no one really expressed was what the taste necessarily is, which I'm sure is something that you could do some flavoring or additives to in some way to make it taste
dump
a little
some
better.
Salt on it or something.
They
like
even
that.
Recommended maybe this could be a potential space food in the future. Again, it's the idea of delivering a food source that is high in protein, high in nutrients that you might need, but in a very simplified, easy form.
I got it.
That'd be quick and easy.
When you
first started,
I was thinking a grain of rice that is like a jelly roll with little inside, you bite into it and beef is in the middle.
No. Not so much that. No, it's literally just the proteins are packed into and built in as part of the grain itself. So
I don't know, man.
Interesting concept. There's something there.
I'm with Ben. Give me my rice and my beef separately.
I don't know, but again, if
MRE.
I don't know, most MREs, from what I understand, the few that I've sampled are not the greatest stuff in the world.
Oh,
but
no.
you know, well,
maybe this is a better.
Maybe this could be a better solution. Right, who knows? Right. So I'm sure somebody somewhere will
coming to a food store near you. Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
That's right. All right. That is What's Tech Connected with us today. Joe Kanagonis, Ben Simon, thank you guys so much for joining us. Appreciate having you on the show. Again, if you want to learn more about PDU, look for the link in our show notes.
Yes.
Don't hesitate to reach out to us. We'll be happy to help you. So it is time for us to unplug. Until next time, go, you know, put your baby T-Rex skeleton up.
Yes.
Eat some beef-infused rice. And
breathe clean air.
Breathe some clean air while you're rocking out to some music on the streets of wherever.
I like it.
And as always, folks, please stay connected. TechConnect Podcast is brought to you by Elo and the 70 Series Full HD Professional Grade Touch Monitors. The 70 Series delivers professional-grade, feature-rich platforms well-suited for POS, interactive digital signage, self-service, document signing, and more.
Whoa.
Let's talk about some features here.
Yes, please. Let's do it.
We always like get into the features. Mm-hmm.
Especially if I'm doing some document signing. Come on.
Exactly. Narrow border touchscreen.
Nice.
You don't want to, as you're signing it, fall off the edge or something, or not have enough, too much edge. I don't know.
Yeah. Clunky. It looks clunky when you go.
I feel like this document signing riff isn't going to go anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Energy Star 8.0 certified scratch resistant service.
Hey, there you go.
Scrolling at it with a pen. Get scratched up.
Mm-hmm.
Durable IK07 design, low blue light and flicker free, touch on-screen display tilt from 20 to 70 degrees, built-in speakers, and a collapsible stand for Visa mounting.
Boom.
I got it all covered here on the series. Available in 22, 24, and now 27-inch sizes, black or white housings, the 70 Series delivers the quality and reliability that you expect from Elo, backed with a standard 3-year warranty extendable to 5 years with optional advanced unit replacement. How many things these days can you honestly say that you can potentially have covered for 5 years?
5 years? Yeah, that's good stuff.
I feel like you're lucky to get a 1-year warranty.
Yeah, exactly.
On a lot of stuff.
No. They stand behind
me. Elo's like, no, we'll do it for minimum for 3, and we can even get you up to 5.
Yeah.
So check out the link in the show notes to learn more about these new monitors.